Welcome you here this morning to Barbie's Grove. Got a good group, and we pray that as we celebrate Jesus and celebrate Christmas, and we'll just have a good time of worship, and the Holy Spirit will minister to you in whatever needs that you have, and it'll be a special time for you and the Lord. You know, God's good to us. And we're blessed that we can assemble together and worship. There are places all over the world where it's not legal. They may have to meet at 3 o'clock in the morning in some alley or some warehouse or somebody's basement or attic. But we can get together and worship, and you're here. And praise the Lord, Jesus is here as well. Let's pray. Father, it's good to be in your house, to assemble with brothers and sisters in the Lord. We thank you for every person that's here today. We pray, Father, that this might be a time when the Holy Spirit reminds us again of how great you are. And Father, just thank you for sending Jesus. Thanking that you loved us enough to send Jesus. We celebrate Jesus today. A babe in a manger. A man teaching, preaching, healing, loving. A man on a cross dying for our sins. Oh, but we celebrate an empty tomb. And a Jesus who's now seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. A Jesus who one day, perhaps very soon, will return and gather us to be with him forever. We celebrate Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas. Boy, you're looking so pretty today. You too, Robert.
He actually tried this one.
Anyway, Merry Christmas, everybody. We're good. As we go do every Sunday, and as we do every Sunday, we will sing a hymn from the hymn of the church. And we picked out one today, the First Noel. So would everyone please stand? Let's sing the First Noel.
The angels is saying.
doxology, please.
Praise God.
As you know, we have been trying our best to fill some requests for Christmas songs. I had one of the strangest requests this morning. And Lionel, I'm going to blame you for this, but what you're about to hear was a request from Lionel. And he made a good point, and this is why I'm going to do it. He said, we all need laughter in our life. Laughter is good medicine. Read the Word, and it'll tell you that. So I'm going to do this, and it's good to see you here this morning. And if you don't come next Sunday, this song is going to apply. It's called Blue Christmas, and yeah, my son's already said I'm ready to go. And Porky Pig would probably sing it just about this way. Okay. I'll have a blue Christmas. Without you, if you don't come, I'll be so blue, thinking about you. You'll be doing all right with your Christmas of white, but I'll have a blue Christmas, and that's all I'm going to say, folks. Now she had this, so she take this thing. I am in trouble. I did that up front, and because what I'm about to do now, I want to remind you that everybody in this church, most of them, I think most, have sent you a Christmas card, and it's back here in the back in the mail slots. So please pick up your cards today. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to read them a precious card that I have just received from Miss Nail. And I want to read this to you now. She received her cards. She said, Dear church family, thank you all for the beautiful Christmas cards. I enjoyed opening and reading each one. I have them taped to my door so they could see them daily. And she did. Thank you, Wings, for your gift bag and gift card. I appreciate your thinking of me. And thank you, church. I wish I could still attend and hug you all. Thank you for remembering me this year. This is Miss Nail. God bless Miss Nail. Thank you. In the way of announcements, I want to share with you this morning. Today we will have some special music. And we're going to have the young kids are going to come back, the young children are going to come back and do a repeat and a request from the Christmas program, and we're looking forward to that. Now you do see there's a conference on your bulletin. That'll be next week. We're not going to have a conference today. It'll be next week, the 28th. So please make sure you understand that. Next Wednesday night we will not have any. Wednesday night service, right, Pastor? Is it next Wednesday? No evenings, no Wednesday night next week. No Wednesday night next week. All right, now let's go to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Lottie Moon Christmas offering is still in effect. We need you to go ahead and continue with that. And then now you see the call conference. The call conference will be the 28th. And then the New Year's dinner and Christmas Eve, a dinner in a movie. Now, there's a sign-up sheet back here on the board. You need to go back and sign up if you want to go. Right now, I looked at it a while ago, and I didn't see about four names or so on it. You're going to have to do more than that if we're going to go with this. And Jeff and I will just have to come here and shake hands. We got five on it now? Yeah. All right, we need your name on it if you're going to come and be with us. Now, first, let me make something crystal clear. You don't have to stay to midnight. As a matter of fact, the last time we did this, I think Jeff and I were the last ones here, and we left at 10. We might have been in the bed at 10. I don't know. But anyway, we left here at 10. So it was no Christmas Eve bringing in the New Year's. If you did that, you did it at home when you got home. So you can come and enjoy some food and enjoy some fellowship and a movie, and you can be dismissed whenever you like to do. Okay? So that'll be fine. All right? All right, so remember the sign-up sheet. That's all I have. Has anyone got anything I missed?
Patrick, yeah. I need to meet with Buildings and Grounds right after service for about 2 minutes.
Okay, before you go that way, Buildings and Grounds, come this way and meet with Jeff right after service today, okay? All right, if that's all the announcements, I'll go to the prayer request at this point in time. This morning in Sunday school, we always have a time of request, and I have a list here, and one of them is Ann Barbie. Ann Barbie, she got her cards, and thanks to, I think, Janice or someone, I think it probably was Janice that did it, or was it you, Rosina? Somebody delivered the cards to her. Janice was. Janice, I know you're the little angel that always goes over there, and we appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Anyway. You are indeed. You are indeed one of God's angels. No doubt about it. You are there. Anyway, back. Ann Barbie has sent her thanks for the cards. And she said, sorry, she can't be with us. She'd love to be at church. But she's asked that you would just give her a call. So if you would, please pick up the phone and call Miss Ann. Let's remember Louise Tucker, who passed away. Angie Eford, who has a health situation that needs to be prayed for. That'd be Angie Eford. And then a praise report for Kathy and Tommy back from Honduras. Praise God, they're here home safe. That's wonderful. And then it was mentioned about the flu epidemic that we have in our county now, and it's for real. It's for real. So let's be praying for that. And it doesn't say anything about COVID. I don't want you to go away and say I'm saying it's COVID, but it definitely is the flu. And I talked to the pastor last week, and he said that the hospital in Concord has been very restrictive about visitors. So it's a real thing, and so we need to be in prayer. All right, are there those who I have not mentioned this morning for the prayer list?
Can you
have
the name Dalton Craig?
Dalton. Craig, okay. Okay, that's Dalton Craig, okay. Anyone else? Yes, Robert.
I'm having an ultrasound tomorrow. Just hope everything comes out.
Okay, Robert. I'm sure it will. I have a praise report for Madonna. She had the scan license, and she... for her brain, and I could go there with that, but I won't because this is a very serious statement I'm about to make, but God did see fit that everything was completely negative, and she's okay, and I think the only thing he said about it could be old age, and that did not go over well. But I want a praise report for Donna on that. Okay, do I have anybody else? And also, there's another praise report that we keep mentioning each and every week, and that's Tammy. And she is just doing marvelously well. She's walking with a walker and with a walking cane, even going down steps. And so it's just amazing, amazing miracle for Tammy.
And we can remove Rusley Barbie. He's doing very well now.
Okay, good. That's good news. That's wonderful news.
That's one.
Wonderful.
Pray for the family of Chris Hafley. He was diagnosed with ALS a while back, and we've all been praying for him to be healed, but God did heal him. He's in heaven now, and the daughters know she may be a little bit younger than I am, but she's going to have to grow up without a father figure. So just pray for
Chris Hafley family. Okay. Hatley. All right. Anyone else?
Randy, the family of Randy Clay.
Randy Clay.
Yeah.
It's right here at Christmas. It's so, so sad. I lost an aunt this week, Shirley Bowers, and I need to remember that family. Matter of fact, I've only got one other aunt left.
I think we need to remember
I'm sorry?
In the plane crash.
Okay. I hadn't heard that, Evan. Yeah, I had not heard about it. Oh, really? I hadn't heard that. The whole family was lost, I'm assuming.
Seven people.
Yeah, goodness, it's awful. Okay, are the others? I'm sorry? Okay, I thought I heard someone else. Okay. All right, if there's no more, we'll go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we have heard a lot of requests, and none we've heard praise. And Lord, we are so thankful that we can take this time now to come to you and acknowledge who you are. You are indeed an awesome, awesome God. You're Yahweh. You are the one and only God. And Lord, we come to you with our petitions. We come to you with our praise. And Lord, we come to you and wishing your Son a very, very Merry Christmas. We're so thankful for Christ. We're so thankful for the Messiah. We're so thankful for salvation. And now, Lord, as we turn our attention to the long prayer request, you've asked us, Lord, to be specific in our petitions as we bring them to you. Lord, I will try my very best to do that now. But I pray for Ann Barbie. I lift her up to you, Lord. I know she's lonely. I know she needs friendship. And she needs love and understanding. We pray for her. We pray for the Louise Tucker family who's passed away. For Angie Eford, as she's had a health issue return. We pray for her. We thank you, Lord, for the praise report that we heard about Kathy and Tommy, their trip. We pray for the Dalton Craig family. We pray for Robert as he was about to have a test. Lord, we pray for him. We ask, Lord, that his test would come back negative as well. We pray, Lord, for the plane crash family who've lost their family. And the family, Lord, is a great loss right here at Christmas. We pray for Randy Clay. Then we pray for the loss of a family of the Shirley Bowers, the Chris Hatley family. And then, Lord, we ask your blessings upon us today as we enter and as we're almost there to the Christmas season. Help us to go to someone, Lord, and testify to them what a wonderful gift Jesus was and is today. We ask a blessing upon Pastor Ed, Lord, as he comes. And then, Lord, upon our praise team as we'll come and as we worship and share with you today. And these blessings, Lord, we bring to you in your heavenly Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, praise team, if you would please come. We picked out a medley of songs to do for you this morning and for Christmas. Oh, while they're coming, let me make this is a thank you that I need to make, that I should have made last. Oh, pardon me, I'm sorry. That I need to make, and that is Grant and Andon. And this, you see the all this work right over here beside of us to our right, all that Grant Incorporated put that up, and it's beautiful. And if you get a chance, and I know he's working today, but thank him, but. What a beautiful job it is. And we need to say a great big thank you. Let's give them all a hand, okay? Do that. Okay, Tom, do you want to introduce this? Are you somebody?
I'm going to let Rita this
you
one.
Do
she
it.
Found
okay.
this one
Okay,
for
Rita
us.
Did. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes. Oh, no, that's okay. Well, as we were trying to decide what we were going to do for Christmas, I ran across this this medley of songs, and it's called the Manger Worship Medley. And there's three songs in here, and you'll recognize all of them. But when they put it together, it's just a beautiful, medley. And it just basically says it all. But so to introduce this, I'm gonna read the narrator part because you won't hear it on our music. So I'm just gonna read that, and then we'll go ahead and get started. The message of the angels was glory to God and peace to earth. Jesus accomplished both of these with his birth. His coming in love and obedience brought honor to his Father. His presence meant peace was possible. God was with us in a way he had never been. And this medley just talks about the holiness of God. So.
Silent night.
You know, folks, we really are standing on holy ground. Now, everywhere we are, the Lord is. But over 100 years ago, a group of people dedicated this place for the Lord. They eventually built this building and dedicated it to the Lord. A lot of prayers. A lot of people have walked the aisle to be saved. We are standing on holy ground. In your Sunday school lesson this morning, you talked about the virgin birth, and I think they quoted the scripture, "Nothing is impossible with God." But how much do we really believe that? Several years ago, many years ago now, I read a book. The title of it was "Your God is Too Small." And the writer was getting to the point that many of us, even as Christians, born again, on our way to heaven, our concept of God is too small. Now, intellectually, God is great. God can do anything. There's absolutely no thing that God cannot do. But now, expectationally, if that's a word, we don't expect God to do nearly as much for us or our church or whatever as we intellectually think God can do. Our idea of God sometimes is too small. And we only can get to the level of our faith. You know, remember Jesus told at least one or more people, "According to your faith, be it unto you." I was thinking of a way to illustrate this. When Pamela and I were first married, I didn't have any money. Church was paying me a decent salary. But we were basically living paycheck to paycheck. And from time to time, we'd want to go on vacation or we'd want to go to Kentucky to visit her relatives, and I could take our paycheck and figure out, okay, this much for gas, this much for eats and motel room, and we got it done. But I always thought, what if I blow a tire or the battery dies? And so there was an individual I'd go to every time, a relative, and say, "Can I borrow $100? And they were not wealthy, but they always handed me a $100 bill. Now, thank the Lord, I never had to spend it. And so when I come back, I'd give them their money back. But I could go to them for that $100. Later, I had a good car. It was just getting older and getting a lot of miles on it, but still cranked, ran well. But then some guys ran a stop sign and made a junkyard out of it. And of course, the insurance company didn't pay much, so I had to go to a different person that was a little better off to ask for about $3,000 to loan me some money to buy a car. And I paid that back. And then when after living in Parsonages for 40-some years, I retired, ha, 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 and went back to and bought my first house. And I had to go to somebody else, even higher up, to borrow more than $100,000. Now, money's not what the point is. If you've got a $100 concept of God, you're not going to ask him for very many big things. If you've got a $3,000 concept of God, you're going to ask for a little bit more. If you have a God that's worth, you know, it's a great big God, you don't mind asking him for a lot of things, big things, important things, and stepping out in faith, believing that God will answer your prayer. William Carey, when he went on that first mission trip, he was one of the first missionaries, you know, went to India. His slogan, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. And he spent a lifetime in India as one of the first missionaries. How big is your God? The Bible says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. In Hebrews it says, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. So how big is God? If God is big and he doesn't change, let's take a little stroll through the Bible and think about how big God really is. We won't turn to all of those verses for sake of time, but in Exodus 14, God's big enough to divide the Red Sea and allow Israel to cross on dry land. And then to close the sea up and drown the Egyptians. Now that's a big God. In Joshua 10, God was big enough to stop the sun and the moon so that Joshua could have daylight to finish the battle and defeat the enemy. Now when you think about it, our concept of stopping the sun and the moon is that they didn't move, but remember the earth rotates. And so we rotate sort of around the sun, and that's the way the sun and the moon give us light. So technically he was asking the Lord to stop the earth's rotation. However God did it, I don't know, but God did it. He's a big God. He's big enough to change the course of nature. God's big enough that other gods bow before him. One of the cutest, funniest to me telling scriptures is 1 Samuel 5. You remember the Ark of the Covenant signified the presence of God, and it was in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. And Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, took that ark out into battle against the Philistines. They lost the battle. The Philistines took that ark back to Ashdod, their city, one of their cities. And they said, you know, they thought they had a great prize. I mean, after all, they had Israel's God. So they take that into the temple of their god, Dagon. And they put that ark there in Dagon's temple. The next morning, they go and Dagon's fallen on his face in front of the ark of God. And they said, I guess they thought, must have been a strong wind last night or a little earthquake or something. So they picked Dagon up and they put him back on his ledge. The next morning they go, and not only is Dagon fallen down before God, his neck's broke off and his hands are broke off. And it scares the living daylights out of him. And the scripture says they didn't go back to Dagon's temple anymore. And it wasn't long till they said, we got to get rid of this ark, because they contracted some diseases and they wanted to take it to another Philistine city, and they said, hey, you're not bringing that thing over here. So they put it on a cart and sent it back to Israel. But God is big enough that other gods bow before him. God's big enough to know the secrets of a man's heart. 2 Kings chapter 6. I love this one as well. The Syrian king decides, I'm going to attack Israel. and I'm going to set my camp up at such and such a place, and I'm going to attack them. And Israel avoids that spot, and the king can't understand it. So he moves his camp to another place, and he says, and Israel avoids it. And Israel avoids it because the prophet of God keeps going to the Israelite king and saying, the Syrian king's here. The Syrian king's here. And finally, the Syrian king gathers all of his servants together and said, now, which one of you is the traitor? Which one of you is spilling my secret war plans? And one of them said, hey, buddy, it's not any of us. God tells the prophet exactly your plan. He knows every word you speak in your bedchamber. And then the prophet tells the king of Israel. You know, God knows our secrets. There's no thought that you have or that I have that God does not know. You know, God, according to the Bible, is big enough to protect those who love him. You remember when the king set up the big statue and said, when all the musical instruments go to play, you bow down. If you don't, you go to the fiery furnace. Well, everybody bowed down and supposedly worshiped, but somebody was peeping because they saw that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down. So they called them in. We'll not worship your statue. We worship the living God. I'll put you in the fiery furnace. I don't care what you do, king. We're not going to worship. They made this fire, what is it, 7 times hotter. They threw them in. The ropes burned off. And they walking around. And it says there's one like the Son of Man walking around with them. The king says, now wait a minute, they ought to be dead. And they walk around after having a party. And he calls them out. God had protected them. God had protected them. And he said they didn't even smell a smoke. Now if you've ever been around a campfire or something, you know you can pretty much smell it pretty soon. Said they didn't even smell a smoke. Later, you know the story of Daniel. They conspired against him, said if he worships anybody but the king, he goes into the lion's den. And God protected him. You know, God's big enough to protect those that love him. God's big enough to protect people and get them saved at the last minute. In the book of Luke, we read about that thief on the cross. He was in the process of dying. We don't know how many minutes he lived after. He said, Lord, remember me when you get into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. You know, it takes a big God to save somebody at the last minute. And that just totally does away with the work salvation. That man never went to church, never tithed, never gave a dime, never preached a sermon, never taught a Sunday school lesson, never sang a solo. All he did was say, Lord, I want to be with you. God's big enough to save him. And folks, all around us are people that need salvation. Don't give up if somebody's elderly. Don't give up if they seem to be losing it, their mind. I've told you before of Pam and assistant pastor's wife going to visit this 95-year-old couple in Tulsa. First time they went, their minds were confused, and so they didn't do any much witnessing. They went back and their minds were clear. And they led them both to the Lord. 95 years old. And within a year, both of them had gone on to heaven. Devil had them for 90 some years. But Jesus was big enough to save them at the very end. God's big enough to save anybody, no matter how bad they are. We read about the Apostle Paul, Saul, and then became the Apostle Paul. He hated Christians. Oh, he hated Christians. He hated the name of Jesus. He persecuted Christians. But like I said in the sermon, I believe it was last week, he went in one weekend from planning on putting Christians to death and in prison to preaching that Jesus was the Messiah. And then later in one of his letters, Paul, in my interpretation, says, folks, if God can save somebody as hard-hearted as me, everybody else is easy. God is that big. But you know, one of the marvelous things about the Christmas story is that God's big enough that he wants to be with you. In the book of Isaiah, it was prophesied what they just sang, Emmanuel. You will call his name Emmanuel, which God with us. In the book of Matthew, when they were prophesying about Jesus, you shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. You know, it's amazing that God is so big, so powerful, so awesome that he wants to be with you and with me. He wants to live in us. He wants to live in our heart. That's the good news of Christmas. That God so loved that he wants to be with us. And do you remember the last scene of the Bible, or about the last scene of the Bible, in Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. Oh, what a beautiful picture it is. Heaven, eternity. There we are as the believers, the saved people of God. And there is God in our midst. God wants us to be with him. Now you see, that's the God of the Bible. That's the God of Christmas. That's the God of the resurrection. He's a great God. Don't let the devil convince you that God is too small, that God can't do or won't do. Believe in a big God, for nothing is impossible with God. He's a great and mighty God. Rejoice in it. Love him, serve him, trust him, worship him, and anticipate one day living with him for all of eternity. You know, people use some phrase, oh, the man upstairs, or God's off over yonder somewhere. No, if you're a Christian, God's right here inside of you. He lives in you and will be in you and with you from now until the end of the eternity, which eternity has no end. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for 1 minute? Is there someone here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Is there someone that needs to make another decision? You need to come to the altar and just worship this great and mighty God. Or you need to make some other decision that's on your heart. We invite you to come. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you'll just stand as Leonard leads us in this song. I'm going to pronounce a benediction like I usually do, but then Leonard's going to lead us in another song as we fellowship for a moment before we leave. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. Oh, the Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to do Joy to the World. Just one. We're going to sing Joy to the World, just one verse. And then I want you to move about, wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and that'll be the benediction. That'll be, you can go up, okay? Here we go. Joy to the world. Just, you can move about. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive. Christmas, everybody.